Well, hello, this is Pastor Dawn with Gaining the Master's Edge. And I just want to say again, welcome Love Studios USA family. Welcome Love Network Radio family. We are so excited that you guys decided to join us another time for another episode of Gaining the Master's Edge. And so what we do here once a week, every week, is we crack open the tenets of mindset mastery. And so this particular episode series is called Rest and Receive. And if you haven't already listened to the first four episodes, then you need to make sure that you go follow me on those websites and that you make certain that you listen to them. You can also just find me on my regular website, which is dawnchurchill.org. And so I just want to remind you. So what we've been doing is we've been looking at how do we get to a place where we are consistently living in a place of rest, in a place of peace, a place where we are fully positioned to be able to receive the magnanimous blessings and promises of God. And so one of the things that I've been building the last several weeks of teachings on how to rest and receive from God, we've talked about how the only way that you can receive something wonderful or magnificent from God is to be in a place of rest, is to be in a place of peace. Because when you are all stressed out, when you're all discombobulated in your mind, will, and emotions, when your thoughts are all crazy and your emotions are chaotic and you're just feeling like this all the time, that is not a space, that is not a mindset, that is not an emotional space where you can freely receive the lavish blessings of God. And so I basically have laid a lot of groundwork in the last four episodes. And so what we're going to do today and what we're going to do next week is I'm going to give you a mini peek into my flagship coaching product, which is called 21 Day Mindset Reset. And what it is, I break down in 21 days, in 21 steps, how to take a particular situation in your life that is not necessarily so wonderful and how you can turn it around for your good. Okay. And so I'm not, the class or the course, it's a month long course, but we're going to try to squish it into two episodes. And so we're going to look at days, let's see, 1 through 10 or 1 through 11. Okay. All right. So the first scripture that I want to take you to is Proverbs 23 and verse 7. And it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Napoleon Hill said that you are the sum total of your most dominant or prominent thoughts. Several years ago, when the Lord began to reveal to me the gravity of Napoleon Hill's statement that you, that I, that we, and every circumstance in our life, the quality of our job, careers, or ministries, the quality of our relationships with our spouses, our partners, our children, our parents, the quality of our wealth and possessions and our financial fitness, the quality of our physical health, our physical fitness, our physical, physiological, biological well-being, the condition or the overall condition of our mental and emotional state on any given day. All of these things. So the totality of your life, the sum total of your current situation in life is based solely on the most prominent or dominating thoughts that you think about all day long, every day. When the Lord revealed that to me through this scripture, Proverbs 23, verse 7, that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The Lord began to show me how our thoughts, when whatever it is that we think about the most, how that creates our core beliefs. And it is from our core beliefs that everything in our life, every situation in our life is built on our core beliefs. So I'm going to share, like I said, I am sharing to you with you a little bit from my flagship coaching product, which is called 21 Day Mindset Reset. And you can gain more information about that when you go to my institute, which is Dawn Churchill Institute on teachable.com. Okay, so our entire existence, the quality of our lives, the direction or paths that our lives are headed toward, the current state of our existence, where we find ourselves right now, these are the totality of our most dominating recurrent thoughts. Whether it is by happenstance or whether it is by determined choice, we are living in the current reality of the thoughts that we have entertained and meditated upon over and over and over again. Okay, so my premise is if you desire something better in your life, something different, something more abundant, something more joyful, successful, peaceful, or prosperous, then you have to think better thoughts, choose better emotions, and focus on the truth of God's word. Okay. So usually when I have a life coaching client or a mindset coaching client that I begin with, this is where I start them at. So I ask them, I'm like, so what are some of the areas in your life that you would like to see the most significant change? Okay. And so I'm just going to choose our career paths for right now. Okay. So let's say that you are, let's say that you are a part-time adjunct faculty at a community college. But you would really, really like to have a full professorship at a university. And let's say that you're working on your doctorate, but you haven't finished it yet, but you have your master's. I'm just giving this as an example. And then everything I'm going to say today, you can apply it to your own situation in your own life. Okay, but let's say that part-time adjunct faculty would really love, to be on staff at a particular university, would really love to be teaching, in a particular school within that university. But here's what's going to happen. The first thing, so let's say that they're working on their doctorates or what have you, but let's say that while they're working on their doctorates, they are constantly entertaining thoughts of fear, doubt, anxiety, unbelief. They're questioning their ability to finish their doctorate's program. They're struggling with the fact, oh my gosh, I have this situation in my life. I just don't see how I can carve out enough time to study adequately. They get behind on their projects. They get behind in their coursework. And it seems like everything is beginning to tumble in on themselves. And the professorship that they would like to apply for at this particular university is contingent on them finishing that doctorate's degree. Okay, so I'm assuming that if someone already has their master's and is working on a doctorate, they're a fairly intelligent person, right? But even intelligent, wise people can have areas of fear, doubt, insecurity, and unbelief in their hearts that have been fostered by certain situations in their life. And those fears, doubts, worries, and insecurities actually bring them to a screeching halt in specific areas of their life when they continually entertain those same anxious, fearful thoughts. So here's what happens. If that person does not get themselves together, so to speak, if they don't get their head in the right game, if they don't sit down and have a serious conversation in the mirror with themselves and say, well, just say it to me, I'm saying, Dawn, girl, you got this. You already have your master's in blah, 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 whatever it is. You've had really excellent grades in, most of your coursework. You got accepted into this doctorate's program. Clearly, they feel that you are of the quality and caliber of education and intelligence that is necessary to complete this program. This particular course is necessary for your goal. So, girl, you need to get yourself together, basically. So if that was me, what do I need to do? So the first thing that I take my clients through is a self-evaluation process. And I say, okay, tell me the most prominent thoughts that you are thinking about this particular subject. And they begin to admit to me, well, I've been thinking I can't really do that very well, or I can't fit it into my life right now, or it's too difficult for me, or I tried this before and failed, or, right now my children are going through this and I just can't handle both things at the same time. And so they begin to pour out of their mouths all of the different limiting thoughts and belief patterns that they are consistently ruminating about all day long, every day. I'm like, well, that right there is the beginning of your problem. Okay. So in days one and two, and even a little bit into day three, what we do is we do a very serious examination of our thoughts, our thought patterns, where we're allowing our mind to go to consistently. Then after that, like I said, I'm giving you a very mini, what do you want to call it? Summation of 21 day mindset reset. So then after they take a look at their thoughts, I ask them now to then to begin to examine their words. So in Proverbs 4:23, it says, watch over your heart with diligence. From out of it flows the springs of life. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the next place that I take my coaching clients is we have to begin to examine the words that they're saying out of their mouth. Now, believe it or not, every time you open your mouth, you are either speaking a blessing or a cursing over yourself, your family, the people that are closest to you, your situations, whatever. If you are not speaking life over that situation, then more than likely you are speaking death over it. And I'll give you an example. So that same person, we're just going to pretend it was me. So I just told you all of the potential limiting thoughts, you know, and thought patterns that I could have been allowing myself to contemplate on over and over again. Well, what happens when you begin to think about that over and over again? It comes out of your mouth. So then I begin to say things like, you know, this situation with my son, it's just too much. I can't deal with that and my master's class right now. I don't see how I can fit in this into my schedule because I have to do this and this and this and this and this. And all day long, then out of my mouth are coming words of destruction, unbelief, fear, doubt, lack. I can't figure it out. I can't make enough time. I can't. Okay. So every time you say something out of your mouth, words and thoughts are like real things. You know how like the wind is something that you can feel, but you can't see it. Words and thoughts are the same way. They literally carry an energy level with them. So the minute that you begin to release words out of your mouth, if they are filled with doubt, fear, unbelief, you are literally speaking. So our words and our thoughts are like seeds. They go out, they find ground to plant in, and then we reap a harvest back. And the harvest that we receive back is more exorbitant. It is in abundance into proportion of what we said. So I'll give an example. So if I say three statements out of my mouth that are all about how I can't do this, I can't figure that out, there's not enough time, blah, blah, blah. It is a seed that goes into the ground, and what springs up is a harvest of that. So what comes back is three times or four times or five times amount of that doubt, defeatist mentality, if that makes sense. So if you are going to get into a place where you are resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, if you are resting in the fact that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places of riches, substance, and wealth, if you are resting in the fact that because the same Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells in you and quickens your mortal body, if you are going to get into a place where you are easily receiving the promises of God and the goodness of God, you have to get into a place of rest first. And that place of rest is where there is a lack or a void of anxiety, a void of fear, a void of unbelief, a void of chaos and turmoil. The only way that you can receive the goodness of God is from a place of security and peace, knowing that his word is true and it will come to pass. And so that is why we have to retrain our thoughts and we have to retrain the words that come out of our mouths. Okay, on to our next point. Y'all ready? Okay, so after I have a client examine their thoughts and examine their words, this is usually what I get. They come back and they were like, Dawn, I had no idea how negative my thinking is all the time. they begin to be aware of just how often there are negative words coming out of their mouth all day long about all kinds of situations in life. They're like, I had no idea that I spoke and thought that negatively. And I said, yes. And this is one of the reasons why we are not able to easily receive the goodness of God and the blessings of God. So, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love of it will eat its fruit. Throughout human history, our greatest leaders and thinkers have used their words to transform their emotions and their thoughts. They have used their words to enlist us in their causes, in other words, to cast vision and to get us to go along with them. They have used words to shape the course of destiny. Words don't only create emotions, they create actions, and from our actions flow the results of the circumstances of our life. Now that is something that a quote from Tony Robbins. So what I want you to understand is if you are going to take control of your life to the place where not only is your heart submitted to God, but you are, what's the word I want to say? You're adamant about walking in the love and the joy and the peace of our Father God. And you are adamant about walking in the reality and the tangible reality of being a kingdom citizen of the kingdom of God and walking in the fullness of that. You have to get to a place where you guard your thoughts and you guard your mouth. A wholesome tongue is as a tree of life, but perverseness in the tongue breaks the spirit. Okay, so I'm going to take you to the next place that I normally take our mindset coaching clients to. I always tell them, I said, choose your words carefully before you utter them to others. Most importantly, the words that you utter to yourself must instill belief and hope within yourself. I'm going to say that again. Choose your words carefully before you utter them to others, but most importantly, the words that you speak to yourself about yourself or your situations, you have to begin to speak in faith and positivity. You need to instill belief and hope within yourself first. Okay. All righty. So I'm not going to delve into this deeply, but again, we're using the example of, let's say I'm the one that has a master's degree. I'm working on my doctorate's degree because there's a particular university and I want to eventually be a tenured professor at that university. There's a certain coursework that I want to teach, right? And I've been dreaming about this since I was a little girl, and God has maybe even confirmed to me that definitely that is his will for my life. I am the one, though, that has to go after it. I'm the one that has to believe that it's possible for me. I'm the one that has to begin to see obstacles as learning opportunities instead of as hindrances. Okay. All right. So the next place that I begin to teach my students is that there are three or four very powerful words that you can speak over your life and over your circumstances. The first one is the two words, I am. The words I am, I believe, are the two most powerful words in the earth. Success is a process, a quality of mind, and a way of being. It is an outgoing affirmation of life. Okay, so there are statements that come out of our mouths all the time. I am, I have, and I do. All right. So, anytime you want to create something new, sometimes we always think that I'm chasing a rabbit trail before I come back to our story. In order for you to do a certain thing consistently, let me rewind. I take that back. In our lives, normally we feel that we have to do certain things to have certain things to then be something in particular. I'm going to use the example of the person that wants to finish their doctorate's degree. So generally that person thinks that they have to do the work of finishing, you know, their doctorate's studies. I'm not saying that that's not true. It is true. In order to have the degree, and then once they have the degree, then they can be a tenured professor. However, when you are deliberately creating, when you are deliberately walking in alignment with God's will for your life. And so if God said it was his will for me to be a tenured professor, the first thing I have to switch that order around. I have to become somebody that is capable of being a tenured professor. In other words, whatever qualities that a doctorate level graduate who is a tenured professor at a university, whatever that person is, and whatever qualities they have, whatever disciplines they have in their life, whatever ways of life it is that they exist in that allows them to be that tenured professor, that's who I'm going to have to become in order to finish the degree and get the job. Does that make sense? We almost always think that we have to do something in order to have something, in order to be something. But I say in the kingdom of God, it's the exact opposite. God wants you to understand that if being a tenured professor is what he's called you to be, then you need to begin thinking and acting and behaving the way a tenured professor is, or you have to become that. You have to become that person internally before you will ever see the outward manifestation of it. So then what happens is I begin to allow God to teach me, okay, so what do I need to become in order to finish the degree and have the job, right? And so what he begins to show me, maybe there's areas of discipline in my life that need to be kind of tightened up. Maybe there are thought patterns that I need to let go of. Like instead of thinking, oh my God, there's no way to do this. He says, this is a finished work. You just have to walk in alignment with it. And so what I begin to do is I begin to allow him to show me. So what are the qualities? What are the character qualities? What are the thought patterns of qualities? What is it that makes up a person that is capable of standing in that position and functioning in that position for years and years and decades, right? So God begins to show me who it is that I need to become. And then as I become that internally, then I have the skills that are necessary for finishing the degree and securing the job. I hope I'm making sense. And so if you are going to be in a place of rest, in a place of peace, in a place of security, that whatever it is that God has promised is a done deal, then you have to begin to think like the person that is already walking in the finished product. If that makes sense, I'm going to say that again. If you are going to effortlessly receive whatever blessing, whatever manifestation of God's will in your life, if you're going to do that, not from a place of striving hard to do it, what happens is you have to ask God, Lord, who is it that I need to become internally in order to walk this out? So what you have to decide in your heart is, okay, this is a done deal. There's no question as to whether or not I'm finishing my degree. It's a done deal. The same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives and dwells in me, and therefore quickens my mortal body. Therefore I have the mind of Christ. Therefore the Bible says that if I will ask God for wisdom, will he give me a stone? Instead, no, he says that he gives wisdom to everyone that asks. So I have to come to a place that I internally begin to act and think like someone that has already achieved the goal, right? As I do that, I then walk in a place of peace. I then walk in a place of strength. I then walk in a place of joy. And I'm just letting God like take me through the process of getting there from A to B to C to D. Okay. All right. So as I said, in 21 Day Mindset, what we do is we begin to look at all of these statements that come out of my mouth. So am I saying I am more than capable of this? Or am I saying things like, I am really stressed out right now? Am I saying things like, I know that God is going to walk me through this process and I'm going to finish, my doctor's thesis well before the due date? Or am I saying like, oh my God, this is totally freaking me out. I really don't think I can do this. I don't know. Do you understand the difference? I have to begin to speak and think like a person that has already achieved it. Okay. And so what kind of I have statements am I speaking? Am I saying, I don't have enough time to work this into my schedule this week. I don't have enough strength to do this week. I don't have enough focus. I feel all discombobulated. Or am I saying, I have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. His word says that he will keep me in perfect peace as my eyes are stayed on him. So because of that, I am able to, I have every amount of peace, every amount of strength that I need. And because God has called me to this, then he has already resourced me. I already have everything that I need. If there's something I need in addition, all I need to do is ask and he will provide, because he has already promised me that this is my season. This is my time to finish my doctorate's degree. By the way, I have no desire to ever have a doctorate's degree, but it's a really good example. All right. Last part. I ask them to examine what kind of I do or verb action statements are you making? For instance, are you saying, you know what, I really enjoy when I sit down and I learn these new things in my project? Or anyway, any type of verb that is an action step. Are you saying it in the positive? Or are you saying that it's not possible? So the reason why it is so important that as I take on new mindset coaching clients, we spend some time, like, probably a couple of weeks, really examining the thoughts that they are thinking and the words that they are speaking. Because what they usually don't understand is, in most cases, they are consistently throughout the day speaking negative things and thinking negative things that then become their reality, so to speak. Okay. All right. So we are going to move on to the next. By the way, as I said, I am giving you a really, really brief introduction to what mindset coaching is like and how it can be so powerful. Okay, so after we do that, then what we do is we begin to reframe their thought patterns. We begin to reframe their speech patterns, and we begin to reframe their belief patterns. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And what it really means is, as a man believes in his heart, so is he. Whatever you think about the most is what you end up believing. Whatever you believe comes out of your mouth. Whatever comes out of mouth is what you do. And that creates the reality that you live in. Okay. All right. So one of the things that one of the only ways to begin to reframe your thought patterns and reframe your belief patterns is through the power of, or the law of confession and the law of repetition. Okay. So what happens is I begin to ask them to begin to write out statements. So for instance, let's say that one of their areas was, there's a lot going on in their family right now. Their son is dealing with this crisis. Their mother-in-law is dealing with this crisis. And, you know, they also have a full-time job, and just all of it feels like it's too much, right? I'm like, then you're going to have to reframe how you think and how you feel about this particular situation. For instance, my son may be dealing with this particular issue, but God's grace is sufficient for him and for me. God's grace is sufficient for me. It even says that his grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in your weakness. So right now, Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus that this situation in my son's life, while right now it may feel like it's beyond his capabilities, your word says that your grace is sufficient for him. And even your power is made perfect and complete in his weakness. So Father God, we're going to lean on you in our areas of where we feel weak, and we are going to lean into your strength. And because I know, Lord, that you've got him, that Psalm 91 blessing of peace and provision just showers over him. I know that it also does the same in my life. So I know that as my son receives your strength and your grace, I can rest assured that my son is doing just fine in this particular situation. Now, my mother-in-law, what is she going through? Well, she's going through this and that and this and that. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you provide everything that we have need of. And provision is not just food on the table and a roof over our head. Provision is whatever amount of peace we need, whatever amount of guidance we need, whatever amount of wisdom we need, whatever amount of strength and energy we need. So Lord, I just thank you for how you are meeting my mother-in-law's needs, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, that you are, that out of your bosom, that you are pouring out upon her. And so I know that, Lord, that you're going to give me words of encouragement to speak to her, a right word in due season. And Lord, I know that she is going to begin to walk under the shadow of the Almighty. It's all about how I think about it and how, what I say about it. And as I begin to say those things over and over and over again, it changes or it frames my emotional attachment to them. And eventually, if I will begin to speak these things out of my mouth over and over again, what happens? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I personally believe that faith comes by hearing repeated words, whether they are good or bad. I'm not going to give you my my background story, but as a child, I experienced a lot of abuse in a lot of different ways. So the abuse wasn't just what happened to me. It's all of the words that were spoken over me, spoken to me, spoken about me year upon year upon year upon year, that it wasn't really the abuse that happened. It was what I believed as a result of the abuse, right? And so what happens then is that you create this negative emotional space that is attached to faulty beliefs, faulty thoughts, and you begin to say them out of your mouth. And then what you don't understand is that because God has given you authority in the earth, what you speak out of your mouth has the potential to create a harvest of whatever it was that you just spoke. Okay. So I know I'm just giving you a little bit of a brief introduction into what mindset training is like. But the power of the law of confession and the power of repetition is one of the most powerful elements in mindset training. You have to begin to speak over and over and over and over and over again that which you know is supposed to be true, that which you know God has promised to you, that which you know way down deep in your spirit is supposed to be the reality you're supposed to be walking in. That has to be on your tongue all day long, every day. That has to be the thought pattern that you are constantly taking yourself back to over and over again. Okay, I feel like I've broken it down enough. Next week, what we're going to do is we are going to look at the second half of mindset rewiring, resetting your mind in such a way that you are now producing the things out of your life that God has already said are yours. Okay. And so I pray that today has been a blessing to you. I hope that you have some understanding of it. Of course, I am just giving you the tidbits and the highlights of what mindset rewiring looks like, about what mindset mastery requires. It requires thinking, speaking, believing, and feeling emotions. And so next week, what we're gonna look at is the emotional component that goes along with that, the mental imagery or the imaginations that we begin to paint in our mind, the gratitude and the thankfulness that we begin to employ as if God has already blessed us with it. We're gonna look at all of those things and how they literally create. I'm always careful when I talk about this because the world has taken this aspect of mindset mastery and they have gone off into the ozone layer and it has become divination and witchcraft in our secular culture. But there is an emotional energy that accompanies positive thoughts, that accompanies faith, love, joy, peace, and hope. There is an emotional energy that is attached to it. And if you can begin to receive from God the fact that this is his desire for you, you're not trying to get it in your own strength. You're not trying to create it out of your own being. And you're definitely not stepping on anybody or trying to get it at whatever cost, but you're allowing God to bring it into your life as he chooses to bless you in the different seasons of your life. But next week, what we're going to do is we're going to look at how the imagination works in conjunction with this, how our emotional energy works in conjunction with this, how our meditative practices work in conjunction with this. And we're going to look at it from a very biblical perspective and a very holy perspective. We are not, absolutely not, We are not going to become our own gods or goddesses. We are not going to tap into the energy of the universe and call. We're not doing that. We are going to be grounded in the love of our Father God. We're going to be grounded in the grace and the mercy that his son Jesus afforded for us. We are going to be grounded in the Holy Spirit. So I implore you to join us next week as we finish this series on rest and receive. And you're going to learn how to take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ, and cause it through through you gaining mastery of these aspects, then you will begin to effortlessly walk in the blessings and in the favor of God in every area of your life. All right, you guys, I can't wait to see you next week, and I pray that you enjoyed today's episode.